Session of oral presentation. So my name is Pavine Lefebvre and I will be chairing that session with Keith Siklanka. So our first presenter is Malena Rohn, and she will be talking about mitochondrial metabolic activity assists with regulation of steroid production in MA10 myosclerotic cells. Okay. This one?
Hi, I will be talking today about the mitochondrial metabolic activity and how it assists with the regulation of steroid production in MA10 myosclerotic cells. So we're going to switch and get a little bit of biochemistry. First off, a little background on steroid hormones and how important a role they play in reproduction. Testosterone is important for spermatogenesis, with estradiol playing an important role in the maintenance of the oocyte and initiating the LH surge, which results in ovulation, and progesterone, which is important for the implantation and gestation of the fetus. These steroids are all produced in the gonads, which are the testes in the male and the ovary in the female. And this, steroid production initiation is initiated by the binding of, by the binding of the tropic hormone to its G protein coupled receptor. This, in our cell line model, is the luteinizing hormone binds the luteinizing hormone receptor in the mouse MA10 cell lytic cell line. Upon this binding, you get the conversion of ATP into cyclic AMP. This cyclic AMP has several downstream effects, including the activation of protein kinase, the liberation of cholesterol that is stored in lipid droplets, and also increased protein synthesis and protein phosphorylation. This increase in liberized cholesterol is then transported to the outer mitochondrial membrane. From here, it is then translocated to the inner mitochondrial membrane, where it is then cleaved by CYP11A1 and converted from cholesterol to pregnenolone. Pregnenolone is the precursor for all steroids. This pregnenolone is then transferred to the smooth ER, where it is then converted into its final steroid product in our cell line, which would be progesterone, but in the males, testosterone. So one of the primary focuses of our lab for the past 10 years or so, or longer, has been exactly how this cholesterol moves from the outer mitochondrial membrane to the inner mitochondrial membrane. And to study this, I used a technique called Blue Native Page, in which I used control in HCG-treated cells. I harvested the mitochondria from these cells, and I solubilized them with digitonin, which is just a gentle detergent. I then ran these supernatants on a Blue Native Page gel, which doesn't have any SDS, and it's at pH 7. So it ensures that these protein complexes that are present stay in a complex. I then did one of two things. I then either did immunoblot analysis to identify the protein complexes, or I divided this Blue Native Page gel up into 18 slices, and then sent those slices each off to be mass spec'd to identify proteins that we did not identify by immunoblot analysis. And our initial results with this and with our isolated mitochondria show that we identified a protein complex that functions in the import of cholesterol. I won't go into too much detail about this, but briefly, we identified two outer mitochondrial membrane proteins, the translocator protein and voltage-dependent anion channel 1, along with two inner mitochondrial membrane proteins, ATAD3A and CYP11A1. And upon hormonal stimulation, TSPO undergoes dimerization, which pools cholesterol at a mitochondrial contact site. Here, this cholesterol, where it interacts also with VDAC. Here, this pooled cholesterol is then acted upon by STAR, which encourages its translocation to the inner mitochondrial membrane, where it is converted to pregnenolone. Upon the identification of a functional cholesterol transporting complex, we were then wondering what else is changing in the mitochondria upon hormonal stimulation. And since we have the mass spec data, we went back and just looked at many of the different processes that could be changing. One of the first ones that have already been previously identified using Blue Native Page has been a protein complex that is important for the import of fatty acids into the mitochondria. And how fatty acids, just a brief overview of how fatty acids are imported, is that the palmitic acid shown here is converted by ACSL, the long-chain acyl-CoA synthase, into palmityl-CoA. It is then imported into the inner into the inner membrane space by carnitine palmityl transferase 1A, CPT1A shown here. And VDAC is proposed to play a stabilizing role in this complex. Once it is imported, shown here, it is then transferred to the carnitine acetyltransferase complex, where it can then be undergo beta oxidation, which is also a lot more enzymes. And so then I went and took a look at all the proteins that were identified via Blue Native Page. And you can see here in the control, pretty much every single beta oxidation protein was identified, NHCG. But we did not identify a protein complex per se. Previously, this complex was actually identified in mouse liver. So it was unknown if it would actually translate to a steatogenic cell type. We actually did not find this complex. But what was interesting, whenever we did HCG minus control, we actually saw a decrease in the proteins that were associating with the mitochondria. We then confirmed this by immunoblot analysis of the Blue Native Page gel, and we did see a decrease in the ACLS4, which is the acyl-CoA synthase ligase, along with the acyl-CoA dehydrogenase, the very long chain shown here, which confirmed our mass spec results. We also did not see a change in the CPT1A, which was expected, as this is a membrane-bound protein, and we only treat our cells for 2 hours. So we did not expect to see any change with that. This led us to the hypothesis that beta oxidation is possibly not necessary for steroid production. And in order to test this hypothesis, we use etomoxir, which functions by inhibiting the import of fatty acids through CPT1A. So if you cannot import fatty acids, you actually do not get beta oxidation to occur. Whenever I incubated this drug with our MA10 cell line, we got a dose-dependent increase in steroid production in basal conditions. Whenever we hormonally stimulated the cells, we did not see any change in steroid production. And our positive control is 22R hydroxy cholesterol. It is a membrane-permeable cholesterol, so it just confirms that the activity of CYP11A1 is not altered. We wanted to confirm that we were, in fact, actually altering beta oxidation, so we used an extracellular flux analysis that's called the Seahorse. And what it does is that it measures both oxygen consumption and the pH of the extracellular media in real time by creating a microchamber. And you can see here that we get a dose-dependent decrease in oxygen consumption whenever we add our drug. This is known to occur because when you decrease beta oxidation, you are decreasing the acetyl-CoA that can feed into the citric acid cycle, and you're also depleting reagents that are necessary for complex one of the electron transport chain. Due to this decrease in oxygen consumption, there would also be a decrease in ATP production produced by the mitochondria. To compensate for that in the cell, there would be a shift to glycolysis, and you can see that here with the increase in the pH of the extracellular media. We confirmed that there was overall no change in the mitochondrial health by the MTT assay performed here. We get a slight, induction in the MTT and then a slight reduction with the increase in dose, but no significant change in ATP production at all. We were then interested to know if you did a long-term inhibition of beta oxidation, what that would do to steroid production. And we also got a dose-dependent increase with both basal and HCG with no change in 22R. These results confirm our initial hypothesis that beta oxidation is not necessary for steroid production and that the import of fatty acids into the mitochondria might be detrimental. To confirm this hypothesis, we then stimulated beta oxidation by the addition of metformin. Metformin works by inhibiting the cell's natural inhibitor of CPT1A, malonyl-CoA. So by reducing the levels of malonyl-CoA, you can get an increase of fatty acids imported into the mitochondria. And whenever we did this, we saw the mirror effect of what we saw with the first short-term incubation, which was a decrease in basal steroid production, but no change in HCG or 22R. When we did the long-term incubation, we saw no change in basal, but we saw a decrease in HCG-stimulated steroid production, and with no change in 22R. Sorry. So the quick overall summary appears to be that when you decrease fatty acid import into the mitochondria, you therefore increase cholesterol import. But when you increase fatty acid import into the mitochondria, you therefore decrease cholesterol import. And the cholesterol import is mirrored by the amount of steroids that are being produced, because you will not have steroid production if you do not import cholesterol. So then going back and looking over these two different complexes that were previously identified, it suggests that the mitochondria can selectively regulate its import of lipids, deciding if it wants to import fatty acids or cholesterol. And one of the mechanisms that we propose for this is that VDAC1 is actually shared between the two complexes, where it plays a stabilizing role. It's proposed to play a stabilizing role in the fatty acid import complex, and it's also known to be very important for steroid production. And whenever we went back and actually looked at the mass spec results in our steroid complex shown here at 800 kilodaltons, there's actually a significant increase in VDAC1 upon hormonal stimulation that is not present in control cells, suggesting that it may actually shift to this complex to help import more cholesterol. So just a quick overall summary of the model that we're proposing for the mitochondrial selective lipid import. In wild-type cells, we get both normal mitochondrial cholesterol import and fatty acid import. Interestingly enough, both of these imports would actually have to occur in contact sites, which could be another mechanism for import. So you can get import of cholesterol through TSPO-BDAC associations, and then you can get import of fatty acids through BDAC-CPT1A associations. When we inhibit the CPT1A's ability to import, we get more of a cholesterol-BDAC association that's able to import the cholesterol. And when we remove the endogenous ligand for CPT1A, we can therefore increase the amount of fatty acids that are able to be imported into the mitochondria. And I would like to thank my mentor, Dr. Papadopoulos, Dr. Joseph Blonder for the mass spec, and all the other members of the Papadopoulos Lab.
I was just wondering, the steroid production in the mitochondria, is that happening in all tissue cells, or is that happening in specific tissues? And how does that relate to reproductive hormones?
So steroidogenic hormones are only produced by the gonads in the reproductive tissue. So in the testes and the males, it produced in the Leydig cells, which make up about 1% of the testes.
So the mitochondria you were studying were specific to these tissues?
Yes.
Okay.
They were the Leydig cells.
Not liver cells.
Leydig cells. Huh. It's the cells that make the testosterone.
Okay.
You had proposed that the mechanism of metformin was through its regulation of fatty acid uptake. My recollection is that metformin is also supposed to have direct effects on molecules in the electron transport chain.
Okay.
Is that right? And so how can you exclude these other possibilities in terms of...
I did not know that. If we go back and I can show you, short-term incubation with metformin does not alter the MTT assay.
Okay.
With the treatment with metformin.